Welcome to It's Your Community with Vanessa Denha, a public affairs presentation of News Talk 760 WJR.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to It's Your Community. Vanessa Denha-Garmo here. In a typical book marketing campaign, West Wind Communications targets book reviewers at magazines, newspapers, electronic media across the United States. They're well-versed in this area. They have contacts in the media exceptionally good. They have high success rates with frequent placements. And I've known Scott Lorenz for many, many years. He has great relationships with writers and editors and producers all over the country. And he's here to talk with us about writing a book. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing well, Vanessa. How are you?
So let's talk about that. Why write a book? And I know not only have you been longtime publicists, but you have written your own book. So we'll get into that in a minute. But why write a book?
Well, I think that people have different motivations for writing a book. Some want to do their life story to share with their family and friends. Some want to set the record straight on some issue. Some want to tell a piece of history that's not been told before. Some want to use it as a lead generator to help bring new business into their company. So there's any number of reasons people write a book.
And you yourself wrote one. Let's talk about that, Scott. After many years of working with authors, you penned your own book. What prompted you to want to write that book? And tell us about that book. I know I've had you on before specifically about that book, but give us an overview again.
Well, I am in the book. I'm a book publicist, so I promote books. It's called book marketing, book publicity, and so forth. And the basically, we try to get people to read a client's book. That's the bottom line. Buy it or read it.
Yeah.
And so the things that worked 30 years ago when I first got into this space will not work today. I mean, 30 years ago, we were still talking about fax machines. Email was just coming on. There was no Google. I mean, cell phones were, what was that? Think about it for a minute. And so things that worked before didn't work later. And the problem with book marketing in itself is they keep moving the cheese, so to speak. That's a book title, by the way.
Yeah.
And as a result, people are, you have to keep modifying your approach or you're out of business. So, you know, social media, we're big on social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram and other places, YouTube for book trailers. So we just try to do whatever we can to get the eyeballs to get somebody interested in reading a client's book. And I wrote a book because the most important thing about a book is the title. And if you don't have a good title, it doesn't matter. If people can't remember the title of the book, mine is called Book Title Generator. The whole idea behind it is it helps you come up with a strategy to actually name a book in some sort of a coherent way rather than just something random that you might be doing with just some esoteric name, like, you know, whatever, just something that's irrelevant to the topic.
Yeah. Genre. So, and that's from your years of experience of working with so many authors. You know, I'm sure those are conversations you have on a regular basis is challenge to get them to create or write a good title.
Right. It is a challenge. And also design, cover design is a challenge. I have some people that fall in love with their mother's quilt that they gave 30 years ago or something. And, you know, nobody cares about your mother's quilt. It's got to be something that's relevant to the actual book and the genre.
Yeah.
Tell the reader what's inside the book quickly. Yeah.
You know, that's a good point. And speaking of genre, what are some of the more popular genres for self-publishing today, Scott?
Well, and business memoirs are huge. Okay. And also business books that tell you how to do something or how they did something. And so if they did it, you can do it kind of a thing. So it's business advice, I think, is really big. Medical books. I've worked with a number of books from doctors who are trying to fix the system, the healthcare system that we're in. And I've been working with doctors on this topic since way before healthcare, Obamacare and all this sort of thing. And it's still a challenge for doctors to deal with the system that's been created. And they're very frustrated as a group. So I have promoted a dozen books in that space written by doctors about their craft, about their sort of situation and the future of the medical industry.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Scott Lorenz from Westwind Communications, longtime publicist. I've known him for many, many years. He's represented, I don't know how many, you probably, have you lost?
Hundreds.
I was to say, yeah, you probably lost track of how many authors you've represented represent over the years. And Scott, you've had some pretty amazing success. I mean, with your authors, I mean, I know you've had an author whose book ended up turning into a movie, right? I mean, is that?
Yeah, we've had books that turn into movies. We've had screenplays optioned, Morgan Freeman optioned one of my clients' books. We've had books that actually were turned into movies. We help authors. I connect them with people who are screenwriters. So I've had authors have their books turned into screenplays and have gone on to win numerous awards, and they're seeking representation right now, agents in Hollywood, and to get someone to make the movie. So that's fun. I'll tell you, that's fun stuff. And hopefully some of these will come through. It's a long process. I can tell you that nothing happens in this business, unfortunately, but.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine who many years ago wrote a book, and the book came out of a series he wrote in a magazine, and a literary agent read the series and asked to write a book. And then it was optioned for a TV series, and it sat on a shelf in Hollywood for like 7-8 years.
Right. That's, you know? That's one of the problems.
That's
one of the problems. People get excited, but they option a movie and they tie it up for years for I shouldn't say a lousy, but like 10 grand. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
They tie it up. The author's thrilled, but then they don't understand that they're just buying it up so somebody else doesn't get it, and they'll eventually do it when they get good and ready. So it doesn't mean your book's going to get, your screenplay is going to get turned into a movie right away. That's one of the sad realities that I've witnessed myself. So
yeah. And Scott, when you're talking about all these success stories, these are all self-published authors, correct?
Yeah, most of the people I work with are independently published, self-published, and I work with a number of authors who are represented by, Random House, Hachette, Simon & Schuster, everybody and their brother. I still get hired by those authors because the big guys don't promote the books unless they're a really A-list guy like James Patterson or say Mitch Albom. They don't get behind the books to the extent they used to. Even 5-10 years ago. So it's good for my business, but that's the reality of it. So I've got a book now by a New York Times bestselling author. It's called My Meryl. And this is the story of Marilyn Monroe as through the eyes of a young girl whose dad was dating Marilyn Monroe, if you can believe that. And it's really a cute story, and it's a perspective that we don't know about, that most people have no idea. And he's a New York Times bestselling author for his first book about Marilyn Monroe in that same space. So,
yeah, he was on our show. Thanks to you. We actually featured that. You can go to the archive section of this and get that interview. And so to that point, Scott, if the big house publishing companies are not marketing like at the level they did, are you better off being self-published today? I mean, with where we are today, there's so many opportunities.
Well, it's sort of the big publishing companies used agents as the gatekeeper. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so the first process back in the day was write the manuscript, make sure it's great, get an agent, have the agent pitch it to a publisher, and that's fine. The problem is there's a couple things happening. More people are writing than ever before. COVID unleashed, tens of thousands more authors out into the marketplace that were previously not authors. And there's fewer books being purchased by the big publishing companies. So they still use agents to weed them out. So you can't really pitch directly to the big book publishers. So you have to have an agent because that's how they protect themselves from all kinds of issues like liability and plagiarism and all that kind of thing. But it weeds out, the agents, they work with certain groups of agents, and the agents know what the game is. And that's how it goes. That whole process takes months and years in some cases. So if you have a book and the book is done and it's been edited, copy edited, and it's ready to go, you can publish it next week on Amazon. Okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's not as good as a book that was published by Random House. It's just that, you know, if you want to get on it right away, the thing to do is to do become independently published, have your own imprint. It's just whatever the name is you want to call your publishing company. And then you go on Amazon and publish.
Yeah.
I don't want to oversimplify it, but it's not that difficult. And then you need to hire somebody to promote it or do it yourself and get out there and get the word out about your book.
So, Scott, you're so connected to different people in the industry, too. If somebody's listening and they have an idea for a book and they're working on it, do you work with them? Like, could people hire you to help come up with the title? Do they work with you to help find out somebody to help them publish it on Amazon? I mean, how involved do you get with authors?
Typically, I'm at the point where somebody's already got the book published on Amazon or it's going to be published and they've already figured all this out. Okay. Now, I do have clients that come to me and they have a book that needs to be, the title needs to be fixed. The cover design is no good. And, you know, we help go through that process. If it needs to be copy edited, I've got people I could suggest that they reach out to for copy editing. But most of the people I'm dealing with are have it done and it's ready to go, or it's already online or they found out that after 60 days, their publisher has done nothing.
Yeah,
I get that a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure. So what are some of the challenges today in the book publishing world?
Well, the biggest challenge is getting exposure. It's so difficult to get exposure. There are hundreds of books published every day. I know it's hard to believe, but it's a fact. And thousands a week, thousands a month. And you've got to get, if you want to get you want to rise above the pack, you've got to have something that's worth reading. And you've got to have somebody going out there say, Hey, call on me, raise your hand, so to speak, and to get the word out. I mean, that's the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's assuming the book is well written and it's well edited and the cover is good and the title's good. Okay.
Yeah.
But if it's not, then we can, you know, we can help work on that as well, but republish a book, help somebody republish a book, retitle it. And we've done that numerous times. So the biggest challenge is just getting the recognition. So,
yeah, that's why you need marketing. We're talking about book marketing campaigns with Westwind Communications, Scott Lorenz, longtime publicist. And that's why you need marketing, because there is a strategy to this, Scott. It's not just like throwing things on the wall, hoping something will stick.
Right. I like to use, numbers in my titles. Everybody's heard of the 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss.
Yeah.
And he then came out with the 4-Hour Body and the 4-Hour Chef. So he kind of owns that terminology, that phrase 4-Hour. And so it's memorable. Okay. And he's capitalizing on, even though those are books that are totally different from one another, he's still capitalizing on the word, the number 4. There's also, I like to use idioms in a book title. I think, and idioms are just those things that, we hear every day, we say them. Some people say them more than others. So for example, don't cry over spilt milk, or it takes two to tango. That's just multiple shades of gray. Okay. Or one for the money, In Cold Blood. These are book titles also. In Cold Blood, Truman Capote, One for the Money, Janet Ivanovich.
Mm-hmm.
50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James went on to become a billion-dollar operation. So those are examples of using idioms, and they are memorable. That's the reason to use them. What you could go to your English teacher, and she'll tell you, or he'll tell you, don't use them, and don't use cliches. Avoid cliches like the plague. Right? That was the word. So that's a cliche.
no pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. And puns are okay too. Uh-huh. Also, but you want to stick in someone's brain. This is what it's about. And then you want someone to say, yeah, I've heard of that book. Well, they haven't heard of the book. They've heard of the term. So that's.
Well,
that's
what about Chicken Soup for the Soul? I mean, talk about a great title.
Well, that is a great title. And people, that evokes immediately what that is, everybody, you know, if you're sick, you have chicken soup, right?
Yeah.
So that part's good.
Yeah.
And then it's for the soul, and it's for, like, you know, your whole body and mind. And then the whole series was created based on that title, Chicken Soup for the Dog Lover's Soul. Chicken Soup.
Yeah.
They've had chicken soup for everybody. Okay. And those guys have been making
millions upon millions. Yeah. I think it's a billion. I think they hit the billion now, a billion, I think.
I do too. They're great guys. And one of the things that one of them is from Michigan, by the way. One of the great things that they did, though, they got on every single radio show, TV show, whatever they could, all the time, whether it was 50 people in a small, radio station in the middle of nowhere to a, 100,000 radio station to a million person syndicated radio network. They went all the time and promoted. And it promoted themselves into this this billion-dollar operation. And I'll tell you something else. They also kind of set the record for rejections. I forget off the top of my head, but I want to say it was like 75 rejections.
Oh, yeah. It was ridiculous.
So it just shows you. And that's why self-publishing is so good. They say they went through a lot of turmoil. They're in trouble getting all these rejections over trying to pitch people that couldn't understand their concept of their book. How lame was that they couldn't understand it, right? So it finally got someone to do it. But the point is, though, had they could have pulled the trigger after about the 10th rejection and said, you know what, we're going to do this ourselves. And because they had the fire in the belly to be able to do all these interviews that they did. And they are the ones that made the difference, not so much the publisher, frankly.
Yeah,
so.
I remember I met Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen at a writer's conference many years ago in Maui. And I think it was Jack who was telling me this story, actually told a big audience a story about how he taped on his ceiling $100,000 check or whatever the amount was. And that was the exact amount that they got from the advancement of the book when they finally got the publisher.
Yep.
And it was a pretty incredible story. Yeah, it's a great story. And I remember, Scott, you'd appreciate this. I asked Jack Canfield at that conference. I was sitting at a bar talking with him. And I said, what's the best advice you can give me as a speaker and as a writer? He goes, well, I'm just going to give you best advice I've ever been given. He goes, stick to what you know and hire everybody else to do the other work for you. And to your point, Scott, we're not experts in our area. So you have a publisher who's an expert in business or medicine, but he's not an expert in marketing and publicity. What I mean? So Jack's point is, stick to what you are good at, your area of expertise, and hire somebody to do everything else for you. He goes, I don't book my vacations. I don't clean my house. I don't invest my money. I do what I do. And I have everybody else do everything else for me. And I thought that was great advice.
Yeah, it is. It is good advice. And it's good advice, not just in the publishing business either, because
in life,
just in life in general. Right. Yeah. So
Scott, you've been in the publicity business for many, many years in PR. What interested you into the niche of books and authors and book publicity?
Well, that is interesting. When I was in college, I went to the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and I was director of student activities. And then I was also student body president. But in the director of student activities, I brought in a lecture. We had a budget to spend on bringing in authors and experts and lecturers. So guess who was touring at the time? Vincent Bugliosi, who wrote the book Helter Skelter. David Frost, who wrote his book, but he came in right after he interviewed Nixon. We brought in F. Lee Bailey, who was also in the Sharon Tate. I think it was a Sharon. Anyway, he was a prominent attorney with a prominent breaking news case at the time. And anyway, a bunch of those kinds of folks. Then I got hired by a local TV station in Las Vegas, who had the deal to promote Howard Hughes's book. And I said, hey, I don't know anything about that. It's not my thing. I go, yeah. He goes, yes, you do. You don't know it though. So they hired me to promote Howard Hughes, The Hidden Years by Gordon Margolis. I was still a junior in college, and I promoted that book. That was my first book.
Wow. What a great story. I did not know that about you.
Yeah. Wow, and I was out in Vegas a few months ago, and I actually went into Howard Hughes's ranch And there on his bookshelf in his room at the ranch was the book, Howard Hughes, The Hidden Years. I cracked up, frankly.
Wow.
That was the first book in 1977 or so.
Wow. Yeah. What a great story. So, yeah. Scott, I'm sure over the years you've had some of your favorite moments or authors that just kind of where the book went surprised you. Is there kind of like a formula when you could tell like, wow, this is going to be a success, or is it you do it and you kind of see where it's what's going to happen? I know there's a strategy, but have you been like so surprised by some of the successes?
You know, I'm always planning on big success, and then some have more success than others.
Yeah.
And it's hard to know what is going to really take off and not. I just don't know. It's funny. I can, like this Marilyn Monroe book, there's a great interest in Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah. Okay.
There is just no question. People want to hear everything about her. I don't care what it is. They want to hear about it. So that is, you know, that's red hot and all that. And I knew that going into it when we first did the deal. And there's other books that are like really hard sells. Like we had the Obamacare was really written out in a book by the CEO of Kaiser Permanente. It's called Healthcare Reform Now. That is Obamacare. Basically, he wrote it, and the administration said, okay, sounds great. Let's use this. I'm being a little sarcastic and flippant, but that is the fact. And so it may not have sold a bazillion copies, but it changed the way our healthcare was delivered in this country. So there's, and that's another point I want to make. It's not always the sales that makes the difference here. People write books to change public policy. They write books to change opinion. They write books to give them a platform to talk about the issue that they're writing about in the book.
Otherwise,
it'd just be a doctor talking about, hey, here's what I think about healthcare. So I wrote a book about healthcare. Here's what we need to do to fix it. And I now that person is an expert on the issues he's talking about. And the media is interested in talking about that. And so the book gives them that that thing that they need to get the platform to talk. That's just the bottom line.
It helps them create themselves as thought leaders, which I've talked to clients about. Yeah. I've talked to clients about that too. It's like, if you really want to be a thought leader, well, write a blog, get on, you know, have a video series, do a vlog, write a book. I mean, these are all helps you create that platform as a thought leader in that area of an industry, you know what I mean? A particular industry or area in an industry. We're talking with Scott Lorenz here on It's Your Community with Westwind Communications. He's been a longtime book publicist. We're talking about writing books. And Scott, if somebody has a desire to write a book, what is the first thing they do? Just start writing, you know? Should they take notes? Well, they research? What do they do?
That is a very good question because, you know, most people are not born with a talent to write a book. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not, because, you know, they'll start out, I was born in, you know, a log cabin and along a river. That's not how you start a book. Okay. And you really need to understand the craft, and people can write elements of the book because, you know, it's their life. Let's say it's their life story. You write elements of it, chapters of it and so forth, but you got to have a great intro. You have to like build it up. There's a whole process. So I would recommend people actually work with a ghostwriter or someone who's really good at writing books, because people tend to write too many things that are just like a commercial, especially in the business world. You know, nobody wants to read somebody's brochure. Okay.
Yeah.
I did this, I did that. We're this, we're great, blah, blah, blah. You know,
yeah.
No one wants to read a book that's hidden, you know, as a brochure. So you really need to hire somebody that I think at that business level, if you're seriously thinking this, then you need to hire someone who is in that business and knows how to craft this
story. Yeah.
Yes.
So Scott, we have a couple minutes left with you here on It's Your Community. What else do you want to share with our listeners before we let you go from Westwind Communications?
Well, one of the things that is an issue with books, and you'll see it all over. I see it all the time, and I kind of collect these titles, and that's profanity. People are using profanity in the titles, and they are doing well with them. And some are doing better than others. It's really kind of an amazing thing. And that's a reflection of the world we live in. And that is a good or bad, you know, but it's that's what's happening. And so I think that that is something that it brings its own set of concerns with it too, because there's certain things you can't say on like this radio show, for example, that you could say in a podcast because, hey, it's everything goes. It's like HBO, everything, whatever, Netflix, same thing. But on broadcast radio, TV, stuff like that, you can't say these types of things. So that is another a chapter in my book title generator about profanity. So
yeah, I'm personally not a fan. So I do think you like either you could turn off a particular target audience too.
Totally.
Yeah. So totally. Yeah. Good advice. Scott Lorenz, always a pleasure talking with you from Westwind Communications. Thanks for being with us here on It's Your Community.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Any questions or comments, show topics you want us to get to, you can reach out to me at Epiphany Communications and Coaching, and you could private message me there. You can go to any of my social media platforms. I'm on Twitter and LinkedIn, Instagram, and Epiphany Communications and Coaching on Facebook. As always, we remind you to connect, communicate, and to collaborate with your community. We'll catch you next time right here on It's Your Community.
It's Your Community, a public affairs presentation of News Talk 760 WJR.